Okay, well, I think if Mike joins, he can just join us. So yeah, has your encounters been going over the last few weeks? Wanna.
I'd say for mine, they've kind of stayed around the same areas, which I mean it's great, but I've been spending a lot more time in prayer in the courts since listening to Robert Henderson and studying the word a little more on the courts of heaven and the legal system and kind of getting more of a I guess more of an understanding and actually having my eyes open to that portion. So, I mean, that's been good. Spending a lot of time, in prayer in that. I've actually noticed, some differences and some changes and things that, are pretty significant. So that's been
Good.
a real blessing.
Okay, excellent. Very good. How's about you, Josh?
In all that I'm learning and I'm finding it fine I'm trying to or I'm learning how it works with me, as opposed to taking the exact way that others approach God and how he works with them, and finding that some of that isn't exact, it doesn't exactly work that way with me. So then, not getting discouraged, but now I'm beginning to, I feel like I'm honestly feel like I'm, if you will, I guess, for lack of a better term, making progress in a way. I'm feeling, I'm finding purpose and destiny. And I will say that, everything has been really helpful, but the approach of Robert Henderson teachings has really had an impact on me, and I felt a lot of liberation. I felt a big weight lifted off, and things have really shifted in my life, and being able to. A lot like you do, Mike. You have a practical ways of approaching some of these things, and that's what he offered from a different angle, if you will. And so, I've actually seen, and I shared with the congregation on Sunday that I've actually seen things change, like in the way, and not just in me, but in things and people around me, because of approaching God, in a certain way, in a certain manner, that in the courts and whatnot. And I've like actually watched, I heard Robert Henderson had the testimony of his son. Did you hear that one?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. And I've had something very similar happen in my life. And so it's like it just put some wheels to it right away. And anyway, so it's always good anytime you have that feeling of progress and something that you can measure in some way. And it does. It kind of gives you a boost and makes a difference in your life. And so I've found just spending time in his presence and in the courts and just using the blood of Jesus just as changed my life and my approach. It's done a lot of things, and so I'm really excited. So even last night had another just time in the spirit that was just profound, wonderful. It just I don't know, but it's I'm loving it. So
Good, excellent, very
yeah.
good. Okay, so is there anything particularly you want to do today, or questions you want to ask, or anything?
David?
Geez, I actually don't have anything like too specific as far as like questions go. It's kind of still, I guess, pretty new as far as experience goes. So I'm not exactly sure I think of what questions really to ask, but one that I did have was like I notice that at times when I'm engaging, and like visiting my garden and spending time with Jesus in the garden and stuff like that, I do tend to find that sometimes it's almost like I have to be more like in a quiet place to really enter in, to kind of like maybe eliminate distractions and stuff. And there is the occasional time where I will be, you know, just out and about and driving and just kind of go back into that that image and the vision and going back into that place where I was. And I'm just kind of curious, is that something that's, I guess, maybe a little normal to be expected, or I'm not sure, you know, where to see that.
I think if you think about it, it's like, practically speaking, when we first look to engage and we're looking to train our senses and look to be more sensitive in the to the flow of the spirit, it helps to be quiet and to be in a reflective place, because, you know, everything that we normally do is very sort of cognitive, and, you know, the left side of our brain is active, and, you know, we're problem solving and we're trying to analyze and we're trying to work things out and we're analyzing data as it comes to us, so we're very active. And to become more connected to the right side of our brain, it helps to be more quiet and meditative. It just helps, because literally the blood flows to the right side of our brain when we're relaxed and we're looking to engage the creative side. It works that way. And literally, even when you close your eyes, even your brain waves change from the normal beta wave pattern, which, you know, operates at a particular frequency. When you close your eyes, it starts to engage the alpha brain waves, which is really where the spirit begins to communicate. And I know Arthur Burke has done quite a lot of research in this and has actually sort of got some empirical data to back a lot of this up, and what happens in the different parts of the brain when we engage tongues and where we engage the right side in that spiritual dimension. And even when people have sleep tests and they monitor their brain activity, they go into usually a delta wave sleep and then really into a really deep, I think it's theta wave sleep. And sometimes people get alpha wave intrusions, they call it, and they sort of can't explain it, but actually it's when the spirit is active within our mind when we are asleep. And often people wake up with solutions and things given direct by the spirit when they get those alpha wave intrusions. So literally we need to learn how to engage the right side of our brain, the more creative side, if we're going to look to activate in terms of our imagination. So being quiet, relaxing, being reflective, closing our eyes is really helpful when we're looking to develop our senses and to develop being able to tune in. Also, praying in tongues is very helpful in that, you know, but not praying in tongues as in sort of a, you know, warfare type thing, but just using tongues to tune up, to edify, to build up our spirit, to connect. So all those things are really, really practical things that we can do that are helpful. And to be honest, it's like, you know, if you're driving along, you really don't want to go into a trance if you can help it. So, you know, later on, once your senses are more tuned in, I can engage my spirit to start communicating with me about what's going on around me with my eyes open, so I can engage in the realm of the unseen realm of the spirit around me. Whereas if I'm looking to step into the realm of heaven, you know, it really helps to be in that place of intimacy, and also sometimes in worship settings where there's a sense of the presence of God. All those things help, you know, in growing and developing the way of we see and we hear and we feel and we taste, touch, all those senses as we look to step in and do it. No problem with that whatsoever. And I think the key is, you know, it does, all of it happens in our head. You know, every form of communication that we receive from the world around us, whether the physical realm or the spiritual realm, happens with an interpretation of signals that we receive within our brain. So our eyes pass that information through the optic nerve, and our brain interprets the signal, and therefore we see a picture. Our ears pick up waves of in the air as transferring energy to the different molecules in the air that our ear picks up, and that transforms a signal to the auditory nerve. We hear it in our brain, you know, and so it's interpreted there to understand what someone's saying. Same thing when our spirit communicates, we interpret it in the brain. Problem is, most of us have never really tuned in to get that flow, and so as we tune in and learn the flow, my spirit communicates to me as a flow of information, description, knowing where I am. But also our imagination, the eyes of our heart, that screen also functions in our brain, whether it's a picture that comes prophetically as the Spirit of God directs something on that screen, vision that comes through the Spirit of God, or whether we choose to activate our imagination to engage through a picture, a scripture, a past encounter, to re-engage and go through the doorway to encounter that. And the more we practice and train our senses to be at our disposal, you know, for us, rather than, okay, an involuntary thing that just happens and I've not under control of it, the easier it is to step in and engage, you know. But when we're practicing and learning, being quiet and reflective certainly helps, without a doubt. But as you go on, you'll find that you can begin to engage differently in different situations as you need to. And ultimately, we want to go from visions to visitation. So we see into something, just like in the first three chapters of John in Revelation, he was looking into a vision of heaven, but he was looking into it, seeing into it. From John 4, he gets invited to come up in and visit, and then his whole experience is on a different level. And so we want to move from visions to visitation, but ultimately we want to work in habitation, because we want to our spirit to be engaged in the realm of heaven, just like Jesus, who lived in both places at the same time. And I think John 13:13 in the Amplified Version really describes that, where he was talking to Nicodemus and sort of said, you know, it's like no one's come down out of heaven but the one who's here, effectively, and I live in heaven now. You know, ongoing, my abode, my home is heaven, and I'm living there as I'm standing here talking to you. And so there's that place where we get our spirit tuned to live there and to communicate here simultaneously, so I can see what the Father's doing, engage in what the Father's doing, be a gateway of what the Father's doing through me into the earth around me, because I've developed my senses and attuned them into that. But it takes practice. I think Hebrews 4:5-14, you know, through training we practice, and that actually exercises and therefore becomes more mature, and we then begin to discern, you know, and that's all part of the process. So yeah, no problem with that at all, really. So yeah, okay, well,
vision to visitation to habitation.
Yeah,
I like that. Okay, and you quoted John, is that in Revelation?
Yeah, Revelation. First three chapters of John, he was looking at a vision and looking into a vision. But John 4, chapter 4, verse 1, he gets an invitation. Come up here. There is a door standing open in heaven. And immediately he was in that realm, which is the visitation part. You know? And we have to learn how to do it. And often we get encounters that expose us to that, and we have something that is involuntary or happens to us, and then it's using those things or using just exercises to step in, which then we use that as a doorway into it. And you know, if you find a mandate in the Word, you can use that mandate to engage anything. You know, so you know, I people often ask me, well, why? Well, how can you step in into heaven? What gives you the right? Well, I basically point them to Genesis 28 and Jacob, who had the vision there in the dream of the ladder that went from earth to heaven. Interestingly, it went from earth to heaven, not the other way around. And there was a door open, and God was standing there in the doorway. So under the old sort of testament, in those days, that was there, which was there. You then had people like Ezekiel being taken and shown things in that realm. But then in the New Testament, Jesus said the same thing. In John 1, he basically said, you know, I'm under an open heaven, and angels come up and down around me. You know, so he lived under that. Paul obviously went up into that realm and describes going up into that realm. And then we've got John, who was also taken in that realm. And so you can use any of those to say, yeah, I have a mandate. So it just didn't just happen in the Old Testament. It didn't just happen in Jesus' time. It happened also beyond that. So any of those times shows that this is something God intended right throughout. You know, and you have, you know, people like Enoch and Elijah who actually went. You know, and so there's lots of precedent. And so using those precedents, it's like, no, I have a right of access also. And so I'm going to exercise that right, and I'm going to step in through that open door, because it's open. It's open over them. It's open over me. You know, and then use that to step in and engage it, you know. So definitely something that we can choose to do. And as it needs to come out really of the desire of our heart. And I think that's really the key. You know, the desire of our heart is what leads us into these experiences. You know, and I think that really is something which, you know, God wants the desires of our heart to draw us to outworking and fulfilling our destiny and the things that God has engaged, you know, so that we can do that when we need to do it. And I think that's the difference in lots of people have lots of encounters and have great times in their spiritual times with God. But then when you become responsible as a son to operate in lordship and kingship, you have to be able to go and do those things daily. You know, so nowadays, I wouldn't do anything without getting a mandate from God. That mandate is the same mandate that Jesus received every day when he saw what the Father's doing, and he outworked what the Father was doing as a channel of God working through him. You know, so I now go and get a mandate every day in the morning. I go before the ark. I get a mandate for the day. Now I've learnt the protocol of what to do with that mandate. So I know now I can go, certain things I can go to my mountain and I can minister and outwork that mandate from there. Sometimes I need to go to the angel court and get the angels assigned to that mandate to go and prepare the way. Sometimes I'll go and get a specific authorization for something and a scroll that I can use in other circumstances. So I've learned what to do, but it all starts with I'm going to present myself as a living sacrifice before God. And in doing that, according to Romans 12, 1 and 2, I am going to find out what his perfect will is for me so that I can worship him and serve him. And in Greek, that's the same word. You know, our acceptable worship, service of worship, service, worship, same word. I'm going to bow down and surrender my life to serve him, but I need to know what it is. You know, we have some pretty general stuff that we can do because Jesus said we can do it, lay hands on the sick and see them recover, you know, cast out demons, you know, share the good news. We can all do that. But actually, what is it that specifically God has for me today? And so once I get in tune with that, then I can start administering that with greater levels of authority and power because I have faith. Once I know what God said, I see what he's doing, then that gives me an access to bring that out of heaven and manifest it on earth. But once you learn the protocols of what to do with mandates, how to engage, you know, around the ark, effectively get your food for the day. Because Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. And so I need that food for me every day, which then that will give me the resource and the sustainment to do everything I need to do, because I have the source. You could call that the anointing, whatever you call it. It's coming from the source and knowing that I am equipped to do everything that God has said, rather than, well, I just drift through the day and hope everything works out. Or, you know, I might do something occasionally if it's in a church meeting, rather than, no, what is it that God has for me? I can then make sure heaven is open over there. I can assign angels to go and prepare for that, bring that which I need to resource to do things in that setting, because I've engaged there, because God knows that I am surrendered to him. It's not my will I'm looking to do, it's his, and I'm only going to do the things I see him doing, therefore I'm surrendered. And that living sacrifice process engages me into the realms of heaven so that I can outwork those things and do it there. And so, you know, it's a daily process of engaging and learning how to engage there, which I think is a really key, you know. Yeah. So, I mean, it'd be good if you want to, let's go and just step in and go through that process of activation. We can step into the realm of heaven, go around the ark, get a mandate, and then let's follow the process through if you want, if you're happy to do that. Yeah, you okay with that?
Yes.
Okay, I'm okay with that. I don't know if I'll be, I'm going to try to hang the whole time. It just depends on what goes on around me, but I'm going to mute so that I don't distract, okay?
Yeah, sure, that's no problem. You can mute. What I'll do is if you, along this place, you know, if you feel you want to stay in a certain place and you feel, oh, there's more to get here, just feel free just to stay wherever you need to stay. Okay, if you want to follow through the process, this will become a doorway which you can activate yourself and go back to and then engage in the places more intimately and draw more from where we go. Okay? Okay, so what I'd encourage you to do is just close your eyes, just relax, and begin to think about that open heaven that's over us, that we have steps that are enable us to walk by the Spirit into the realm of the Spirit, that realm of the Spirit is open to us. We can engage and we can just step up through that ladder up into the realms of heaven. There's a doorway which is standing in the realm of heaven, and Jesus is standing in that doorway. And as we step in, he just takes us by the hand and he will be our guide. And I want you to just begin to activate all your senses, just relax and open up the eyes of your heart to begin to see. Open up the eyes of your spirit to perceive. All your senses just begin to activate and your emotions engage in where we're going. Just breathe in the atmosphere of heaven. It's an atmosphere which is different. Just breathe it in. Just receive the life, the energy that comes out of the atmosphere of heaven. And Jesus is now just going to take us through some of the dimensions of the veils that are in the realm of heaven. It's going to take us through what is like a various veils and portals. And you may sense that as we go through it, but just let him lead you now through the veil of the way as we go through the realm of the kingdom of God. And he takes you through the veil of the truth, in through the kingdom of heaven. And now Jesus will just take you through the veil of the life into the realm of the presence of God around the Holy of Holies. So he takes us into the Holy of Holies, and we engage around the Ark of his presence. And as we engage there, begin to look into the manifestation of his presence around the cherubim, over the mercy seat that contains the blood of Jesus, as our access into the veil through what he's done, to engage there. To just begin to sense what it's like to be engaged with his presence around his name, around the four faces of God that will be manifesting between the cherubim. As we just think of his name, as we're in him, his name represented by Yod, He, Vav, He, Yod, He, Vav, He, Yod, He, Vav, He. Just begin to resonate with the lion, the ox, the eagle, and the man. Your whole being starts to resonate as you connect up with him intimately, personally, with his presence. Just sense his heart for you, the desire of his heart for you to come, and just open up your heart. Surrender to him afresh. Literally open up your heart to receive the mandate that he will give you specifically just for this time. Just sense, you may feel, you may get thoughts, you may get picture of what he's revealing to you within your heart as he begins to change the desires of your heart and align them with your mandate, the things he's revealing. It's like you're taking food, a resource for the will of God for you. And as you receive that energy, just allow that to around you, the atmosphere of his presence around you. You're receiving revelation. He will write it on the tablets of your heart. He will begin to draw and align your heart, the desires of your heart, towards your mandate, your authorization to act within the kingdom. You may get drawn to the lion or the ox or the eagle or the man. You may be drawn to particularly to look from that perspective. So you may see, as you step into his presence, you may see from the eyes of the lion. You may be called to release the sound and speak through the voice of the lion or the ox or the eagle or the man. You may feel called to soar on the wings of eagles. Just sense that which you're drawn towards. Now you have an authorization within you, a mandate. Now Jesus now just begins to take you by the hand. He's going to take you again through a doorway where you can engage before the court of chancellors, and you present your mandate before them so that they release authorization to your scroll. And they have a scroll on the bench before you. And just see, as your heart releases your mandate, they may speak to you, you may just sense what they're doing. often seal the scroll with the symbols of the lion and the ox and the eagle. There may be different colors that you see and feel. You may feel some of the cloud of witnesses that will gather around you at this point. Just look to engage there. Now, as they release the scroll to you, Jesus again just takes you by the hand. He will lead you back through the door into the realm of the kingdom of God to your mountain, where you can take your scroll, your authorized mandate to rule. This is the mountain of your life. On that mountain, and below that mountain, there are seven mountains. You may be able to see from that mountain and look down and see. But on the mountain, there is a throne. And Jesus invites you to sit on the throne. This is your throne of rulership over the spheres of your kingdom authority with your life. Behind your throne is the angel assigned in heaven to you to help you and guide you in this protocol. But Jesus, before you, places a crown on your head. That crown may have colors or jewels attached to it. He places a colored mantle on your shoulders. And you may discern and feel what that color is. And he places a scepter in your right hand, a scepter of authority to rule, to decree. Now he invests you with authority. Just sense how pleased he is, the pleasure in his heart that you would take your position as a joint heir with him in rulership. Just sense the authorization he gives you, the affirmation of your sonship, affirmation in lordship to administer the kingdom over your spheres. I think from there you can often just look down through this perspective and look to those mountains that are below and just ask him, what are the mountains? What are the names of the mountains, the spheres that are yours? And just sense what he releases to you. And as you sense that, have a look from that realm. You can see if there's anything around those mountains, anything on the mountains, anything that you may have revelation to see that then later on you need to deal with. But just be observing, sensing what's going on around those mountains as you look down from your place of authority within the kingdom. You may feel your desire of your heart, your spirit releasing you to declare or decree something of the mandate you've been given, the authority. You may feel called to use your scepter. Just sense if there's anything that your mandate is releasing you to do there. Over you is the canopy of angels that recognize authority and they encamp over you. There's 10 realms or spheres of angels that are over you. Again, you may feel that you can interact with a particular sphere of the angelic according to your mandate from that realm. Now, Jesus wants to just take you by the hand again, and he takes you back through a door into the realm where the court of angels is. You can stand in the court with the angels around you to present your scroll, and those assigned will come forward. You may see different types of angels, different sorts of angels that engage there that were associated with the mandate. Some will be for the mandate to your life. Some will be for the specific mandate scroll that you've been released today. And just see those angels assigned. You may feel you want to direct them to go before you. Some you can often send into the atmosphere of the earth to clear the atmosphere over you, over your life, to maintain an open heaven. Some you may feel that you send before you to prepare the way. The connections, the kingdom relationships, those things that need to be established for you to outwork the destiny and calling that you've been given. Some to bring resources. Just sense those that would volunteer. So I just allow Jesus to take you and bring you back to the mountain that's yours, and just sense that which he would engage you with. Sense the destiny within your heart, the desires of your heart being outworked. Now you can just step back into this realm and bring with you that which you've received. Allow your heart to be changed and transformed by that which you've experienced, and use that as the doorways that you can use into future engagement. Okay. All right. Okay. I think there was a bit of a dropout in the middle there, but not to worry. I'll sort that out. Yeah. Well, yeah, part of that is because, you know, I've been given a key to open these things up for people. And so often, you know, people encounter things because I can open that realm up. Then you use that doorway to go back and affirm the pathway for yourself. You know, because now you have a testimony of encounter that you can use as the doorway to go back. You know, and that's how this works, really. Yeah, that's often how it is, you know. It's like, you know, once you have an experience and an encounter and you have the testimony of that, you use that as your anchor, and then it becomes a doorway. So you meditate over it, go back through it, and then step back in, and next time, you know, you will be able to see probably things you never saw. When I went the first time, it was like, wow, what's all this? You know, I'm just taken aback by the experience. But now it's a pathway that I can, by thought, go to those places, go to those different courtrooms or the different places that you get to go to, You know, the key to me is engage with the ark, you know, around the presence of God there, because that's where you're going to get mandates. You know, I get a mandate for the day. You know, I want the mandate for every day, and use that mandate every day. So I know what the Father's doing, you know, so you can use that and go back. And then you get regularly used to, hey, I'm going to get a mandate for today. What is the will of God for me today? I can then, you learn how to administrate that, get the angels involved with it. But, you know, the presence of God around the ark, where you get, you resonate. It's resonating and coming into alignment with Him that enables us then to discern His will. You know, whether, you know, I open my heart there so He can either write things there or reveal things there, or align my heart and my desires to draw me towards my destiny, which is what I really looking for Him to do. Because there are tablets written in the ark, but now He writes on the tablets of our heart. And it's whether, you know, He's just unveiling or revealing things to our heart that draws us, writes things. It's symbolic of the revelation that comes when we engage our heart with Him there. And as we draw near to Him, we get drawn nearer and nearer to the desires and the will He has for us and outwork it. So, yeah, go back, engage it again, keep engaging it, and it becomes a pathway which will become yours. So it won't be just me opening a door for an encounter. You then, that is my door. And I can go back through it because it's my testimony that I have. And you have a testimony of going to various rooms. Well, now you can go back and explore those rooms. And next time, okay, what am I supposed to do here? Is there anything that I need to do? And ask Him to show you. You know, it's when you step back into the realm of heaven, you just ask Him to take you by the hand and take you back to those places to start with. You know, now I can just go there, because I've developed the pathway, and by thought I go. But sometimes I just like to go and take Jesus' hand and say, is there any way you want to take me? Is there anything you want to show me? And just let Him do it, you know? So, you know.
Yeah, that's definitely kind of encouraging, and because I know there's been some times where I'm kind of just like, man. And I think it's probably, too, you know, maybe just a little impatience and just like, you know, wanting too much too soon. And I mean, you know, that's just kind of the way I am. But I appreciate, you know, getting together, you know, when we do, and getting to, you know, experience more and more. And, you know, and like you say, you know, use that as an anchor to go back to, and between, you know, our visits, spend time in each place that we get to go to. And I think, one thing that's been really big for me, and the revelations that have just been coming, and getting to know more of who God is just that really feeling that drawing to be closer to Him. And also when reading in the Word, it's just there's so much more life and new life in the Word of God. And it's just kind of like, wow, it's like it's all new again. Like, it's exciting again, and like it's awesome. Yeah. So.
Yeah, but it's a journey of discovery, you know. You know.
Yeah.
It's so much to God, and you know, I mean, yeah, we think of, oh, we've been to a few rooms. You know, the whole mountain of God is full with different sorts of rooms and places, and you know, it's great to explore it and to engage, but. You know, it's just step by step, you know, and the more you tread down the path, the more the path becomes easier to follow for you. And so, you know, just keep engaging there. It's good.
Yeah, no, I definitely will. And I appreciate you taking the time to do that with us this morning.
It's okay, no problem. And
so hopefully we'll be seeing you here in the next 2 weeks from now. I guess Pastor Mike will get together with you and get...
Sure.
Things scheduled out and stuff. But.